So, we are nearly at the end of our journey through Isaiah. And what a journey that has been, full of amazing teachings and lessons and God's grace in abundance. Who loves to go out for a meal? Who loves to go out for a three-course meal? Well, I have looked upon this book as a three-course meal, where the first part of the book was like a starter, and it leaves you wanting more. And then the second part is the main, but one of those mains that's just so piled high of lovely stuff that you've just got to eat it. And it kind of leaves you a bit full and a bit bloated, but you know dessert is coming. And there's always a dessert stomach. Well, I've always got a dessert stomach. And the third part of this book is like a dessert, where you don't know where to start because it is from every angle. It just looks so good. Where do I start? And it is just going to taste so good. And that's where we find ourselves at dessert this morning. So chapter 60 to 66, it's all about dessert. And it will leave you wanting more and more, and it will leave you feeling really good. So, doesn't life sometimes feel like a mission? I bet some of you this week have been on a mission. Whether it's at work, whether it's deadlines, whether it's promotions, whether it's sorting staff out, whether it's trying to get the kids to school in the morning, now that is a mission. Whether it's going abroad on a mission, just getting out of bed some days is a mission. Doing your online shopping, when you've done your online food shopping and then it just disappears, and then you've got to do it all over again, now that's a mission. Now, I kind of had to get it in somewhere. I just had to, you know, just to remind everybody, we are going to be on Bargain Hunt. Did you know that? So I was like, oh, yes, I can get it in. I can get it in. Well, we had a bit of a mission two Thursdays ago where we were doing our second filming of all the auction stuff. And on the Wednesday, we'd sorted all the children out, and Auntie Ruth had them, thank you Auntie Ruth, at 6:45 in the morning, and then Kate was picking them up, and it were all sorted on that Thursday to get up at 6:45 and to be at Nantwich for 8:00 where we were filming. And then Wednesday night came, about 12:30 in the morning, I shot up going, oh my goodness, like whacked Rob, I've just heard somebody be sick. And Rob's going, don't be ridiculous. I'm like, seriously, I opened our bedroom door and there is Nancy covered in sick. And I was like, are you kidding me? Not tonight, because in the morning we're going on telly. So 2 hours passed, she was being sick, there was poo everywhere. It was just a bit of a nightmare. So by the time we cleared all that up, well, Rob cleared it up, I don't do stuff like that, we went to bed. He's great, good dad job. So at 6:45, the alarm went off, and it was like, right, what do we do? Right, because we both really want to go, and Nance is still being sick, and oh my goodness, so we were like, right, let's just have a think. Right, 30 minutes away from Nantwich, Jane lives, which is Rob's sister, so we can phone Bargain Hunt, tell them we're going to be a bit late, so Rob can drop me off at Bargain Hunt, and then go and drop Nancy off, and then come back, and it should all be fine. So Bargain Hunt were fine, Nancy was in the back, still being sick, worst parents ever, going to Auntie Jane's, oh, awful. But anyway, so Rob dropped me off at Nantwich at 8:30, then he drove for 30 minutes, dropped Nancy off at Auntie Jane's, and then drove back. So we were like the last on at 9:30. The director was getting a little bit fidgety, going, is he coming? I'm like, yeah, he's here. He's by the traffic lights. It was like one of those famous kind of movie things where I'm at the gate with the blue jacket, and there's like a private parking space for Rob. He comes in and he whizzes in, and I put his jacket on, and then we jump into the cameras. And then relax. But that felt like a real mission. But what I would like to share to you this morning is a mission that will top off all missions. So I would like to give you a little bit of a background of what's kind of gone on in Isaiah. To the people in Isaiah, returned from exile, struggling to believe that God was still working in their midst. That Isaiah, during the exile, pointed to a great future. They had regained possession of the land they were promised, but they were barely existing. The community of God's people was in no condition to be a light to the nations. They have a real mission ahead of them that looks impossible to achieve. But Isaiah is kind of saying to them, guys, I have some good news to share with you. I have some good news to share with the people of Zion. So if you'd like to turn with me, we're going to read Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and a splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify him. So this chapter opens up by describing the anointed, the Messiah, the servant of the Lord. He is anointed by the Spirit of God. This anointing was especially for a mission of proclaiming the Lord's good news. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me. Now, in the Old Testament, upon me, on me, means is to bring action. So when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, there is always an action. Isaiah is describing that the Messiah, which means Jesus, so we know right from the offset that he is describing Jesus here. He is saying the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I have a purpose from God the Father. I have to take action. I have a mission to carry out. If Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son, perfect in both deity and humanity, needed the Spirit of the Lord God, how much more do we need it? Isaiah 61 is describing Jesus' mission. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The word anoint means to rub, to sprinkle oil on a person's head. People in the Old Testament were often literally anointed with the oil, and it would be a sign of the Holy Spirit upon their lives and service to God. God has anointed Jesus for service, to carry out his purpose, his mission, which is to bring good news to the poor. That was Jesus' ultimate mission. But then the ultimate mission had several dimensions to it. And the first one was this, to bring good news to the poor. Because sin brings such poverty, he, Jesus, will bring good news to the poor. So let us realize that the poor are people who are more than those that live in human poverty. Those who are really poor are the ones who yet to have a personal relationship with God. That's why this is such good news for the people of Zion and our world today. The Messiah, the anointed one Jesus, is coming, has come to bring us good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And because life brings such heartache and sadness, he will heal. When I think about how much sadness and heartache that are in this world today, that people are walking around, when I think of the heartache in this room this morning, through people that are through sadness and through different circumstances, just hear this and understand that Jesus came to bring a ministry of comfort and encouragement to the discouraged and downcast. He wants to repair hearts. He wants to put them back together again and make them whole. Jesus has been sent to heal broken hearts. He will proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, because sin makes us feel so confined and trapped and imprisoned and riddled with guilt, which I'm sure the people of Zion were feeling. The Bible is full of Jesus, just full of how Jesus has been sent to heal. He heals people. He delivers people out of darkness. If you're in darkness this morning, I've got news for you. You do not have to be. Why? Because Jesus came to this world to shine the light. It says in Matthew 4:16, it says this: the people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the shadow land of the death, light has dawned. Now, this verse should give us a lot of hope in this dark world we live in today. How many people are feeling ashamed, full of guilt, consumed with evil, and we only have to turn on the news. There are so many people full of evil. But there is hope. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came so there were no more guilt and shame. We can walk in the freedom and not feel like we're in prison. He will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah is talking to the people of Zion and talking to them about how Jesus will come to set people free from darkness. The year of the Lord's favor is on you. I bring you Jubilee. Now, Jubilee, which lasted usually about a year in the Old Testament, every 50 years, all the slaves and prisoners were set free, and all the land that had been taken by others due to unpayable debts were released back to the original owners. It was a new day of grace and favor. In Leviticus 25:13, it says, "In this year of Jubilee, each of you will return to his property." But the Lord's favor doesn't last forever. But it lasts longer than a year. And it started when Jesus spoke those very verses that we have just been talking about in the synagogue in Nazareth at the start of his ministry, where he fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. And it ends when Jesus returns to earth for the second time. The city of Zion, and not just Zion, are living in favorable times. We do too. And we have an opportunity to come to him still, to have all of our debts cancelled. The Lord's favor would especially rest on those who Isaiah had already mentioned, societies underprivileged. The year of the Lord's favor is a very long time. But, and there is a really big but. I wanted to get a picture of a really big but I didn't think it was appropriate, so I didn't. I was searching buts, and I thought, no, actually, I won't do that because that's just not good. Anyway, let's move on. So, but, and there is a big but, the day of our God's vengeance. This doesn't need to indicate revenge. In fact, it could refer to God simply restoring a proper balance in society by righting injustice. But it comes with a warning. He warns those who oppress the poor that God saw. He warns those whoever turns away from God, he would bring vengeance and punishment. So it's great news for the Jesus follower, but it's bad news if you're not. He came to comfort all who mourn, to provide those who mourn in Zion. He will bring comfort to all who mourn. The anointed one, Jesus, also came to transform people's thinking. In the Old Testament, it made it clear that the only Jewish people could be saved, God's chosen people. The Gentiles were left out. But in this verse, the anointed one is saying, I will bring comfort to all who mourn. The good news is that the comfort all people, he makes reference still to Zion, because he's not going to forget the people of Zion, but he makes it clear that he is for everyone. Everyone. Jesus does not leave anyone out. He does not discriminate. We need to transform our thinking. Jesus is for everybody, not just for us on a Sunday. We can't keep Jesus to ourselves, because that's actually not great. We can't keep all of these amazing blessings to ourselves, because Jesus accepts all. So we need to accept all. And this is one of my favorites, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and a splendid clothes instead of despair. This is the final dimension of Jesus' mission. Zion's ashes would turn to beauty, her mourning to gladness, and her despair to praise. In biblical times, the significance of this, it was customary to sit in ashes or to cover themselves with ashes to express mourning or loss, such as grief over distressing situations, grief over national disasters. Ash was associated with pain, loss, and suffering. And as these words were spoken to the people of Zion, there were a lot of people sat in ashes. Isaiah is telling the people, the Messiah Jesus is saying, get up, rise and shine. I have placed upon you a head, a crown of beauty. I will make something beautiful out of these dirty ashes. I will make something beautiful out of these dirty ashes. What are you covered in this morning? What are you covered in this morning? Are you covered in ashes of mourning? Are you mourning like the world does, with no hope? And can ashes really be turned into something beautiful? Yes, they can. We only have to read his word and understand it fully to answer this. Out of our sadness and hurt will come great strength and victory. He will make things new and restore even the most broken of us beautiful again. Let's replace those ashes that are on our heads. Let us lift our heads high. It is time. It is time. It is time to get off the floor and walk around and show off that beautiful crown. It is time. Let's cover ourselves with festive oil instead of mourning. Through our mourning, let praise be on our lips. Let's put our best outfits on every day, because he has given us the most splendid clothes to wear. We do not have to walk around in clothes and despair. Why? Because we don't. Jesus came to take our mourning. Jesus came to take our despair. Let's understand these words. We don't have to anymore. Jesus will make everything beautiful again. The grace of God is just overwhelming in this chapter. No, we don't deserve it. No, the people of Zion didn't deserve it. But that's the grace of God. He just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving in abundance. and they will be called righteous trees, planted by the Lord to glorify him. Or another version, it might say, they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. Planted by the Lord sounds a little bit weird, but it's really not. If you think about Jesus being the gardener, that fits beautifully. Those belonging to God are grounded and productive, living and growing in his fruitful goodness and his high moral strength. Do people around you see God's enduring stability in you? Do they? Jesus claimed to plant the good news into people's lives. The restored place of God's people is glorious. They are strong and beautiful and useful as trees, and trees of righteousness as that. And when people look at the grandeur of these trees, they see they are planting of the Lord. This is Jesus' mission statement, to bring good news to the poor. How are you going to respond to this morning? The Bible is clear to us that if we are followers of Jesus, we should follow his example. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we have to be prepared to do a few things. We have to fully understand Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission, it was his core focus, bringing the good news to the poor. It was his core purpose. It was his core goal. It's why he exists. You have to deny oneself, and that is really hard. Jesus denied himself when he came to this earth to set the perfect example to us. The Bible teaches that God gives you everything you need. You just have to be ready to follow him in life and death. Jesus came to serve, to bring good news, to bring hope to the lost. And that should be your news. His mission should be your mission. God has called every single one of you. You don't have to be a pastor of a church. You don't have to be in leadership. You don't have to be a teacher. If you love Jesus, if you love Jesus and you are a follower of him, he has called you to bring good news. He has called you to be gospel-centered. In other words, it should be the reason that you live for. It should be the reason you get out of bed. You should be eating it. You should be drinking it. You should be dreaming the gospel. And if that is your mindset this morning, and you are going all out for Jesus this morning, you are going to see some amazing things. You are going to see broken hearts mended back together again. You are going to be part of setting captives free. You are going to get to proclaim amazing things to people because you are walking it through with Jesus. You have got yourself up off that floor and you are wearing your crown with pride. Yeah, it's hard because life is hard. And some of you at the minute, life is really, really hard. But Jesus is going, get up off the floor. And because Jesus does heal, you will have stories after stories where Jesus has never let you down. You get to tell people about the Lord's favor. But also warn that the Lord's favor doesn't last forever. You get to grow people You get to come alongside people and minister to them exactly where they're at. Why? Because in Ephesians 5 it says this, therefore let us be imitators of God as beloved children. Can you believe that God of this world, all wonderful and powerful, has entrusted you and me and called you to be like his son Jesus, and we get to be partakers of discipling people? Because Jesus has gone to the Father, you can have the Spirit of God on you. You have been anointed for service just like him. And if there is parts of your life stopping you going all out for Jesus, I ask that you will be brave today and give those things up. Because Jesus is waiting to tell you this good news. The good news changes lives. This is Jesus' mission statement. This is July the 2nd, 2017. This is your moment to grab it with two hands and start living like Jesus in every, and I mean every area of your life, not just a little bit, not just, oh, well, I'll give you that, and then actually I quite like to do this. Every area of your life. You have a job to do. Are you going to make it yours today?